Project in the works, and it is connected to the Home to Homeland show. In case you do not know, the Home to Homeland podcast is a spinoff of my dance play, which I performed in March 2019 in Philadelphia. And this dance play is an interactive dance theater translation of my journey from my living room in Baltimore to Senegal. The performance travels through various rooms that represent pit stops in New Orleans and daytime television via the Wendy Williams show, where I interview myself on the meaning of home. My final stop lies in Senegal, where I realize that home is beneath my feet. This interactive experience opens up a world of non-biased seating within the audience and sparks a deeper conversation of the similarities of home that defy race and status. This podcast is my way of archiving my findings. And after this, I will be heading to Instagram Live, where I will be interviewing a special guest, DJ S. Dot. Is going to be on the ones and twos and threes and fours as we discuss club culture. A few things to keep in mind. I speak from a place of experience and not expertise. I do not know everything, nor do I pretend to. I'm creating this space to express things that may or may not be the norm. If it resonates with you, it resonates. And I'm here to bring a voice to those who are usually unheard. Some of the greatest people I have met have been in bodegas, taxis, bus stops, corners, you name it. You can support this platform by donating to my Cash App, $SanShellBrown, or at Venmo at Sanchel Brown, S-A-N-C-H-E-L, Brown like the color. Everything that you donate does help. As a single mom, a mom doing this singularly, and an independent artist, I appreciate all forms of support. All right, so tonight is episode 9, and the energy of 9 represents completion, but not finality. It thinks of it more in a cynical sense, and it's about the ending of one cycle and the potential it creates for another cycle to begin. The number 9 in numerology acts as an usher in this process of transition or transformation, guiding and empowering us with wisdom. How perfect for the episode topic for tonight. I have a very special relationship with the number 9. I was born on 9/29. I have a lot of understanding of endings of cycles and transferring the energies and alchemizing them to go into a new cycle. So tonight's episode topic is facing the music. And I know that this topic is definitely within the number 9 energy as we talk about the different transitions that music has gone through from my perspective. Music and magic both have 2 syllables and starts with M and ends with C. Music is an elixir of life and can serve as medicine with centuries of the human race utilizing their bodies, tools, instruments, and now electronics to produce sound. It has always flowed through our very essence. The sound of music can make the most stagnant person move, can bring back the memories of many lifetimes, can bring joy, can bring pain, can bring a wide array of emotions to the human person. As a youth of my late 20s, you see what I did there, youth, I have seen an evolution since the early 90s. When we were in the 90s, there was an emphasis on soul, love, clear messaging. I mean, you think about, what's the name of the group, Soul Holiday. You think about, you know, this era of music where there was a sense of coming together, bringing together, telling our story. And I'm speaking from a melanated person's perspective, an Aboriginal perspective, African-American, however you would like to label it, this is the perspective that I'm speaking from. All right. There has always been music that pushes the edge, you know, dating further back. I mean, even back in the day around the era of Mahalia Jackson, there were musicians that were talking about things that they talk about on the radio that should be censored, but is really not. But at that time, there was a clear distinction between what was secular music and what was for the Lord and what was for them streets, okay? So in the 90s, I remember the Notorious B.I.G., Tupac, and Lil' Kim, to name a few, and some of the main ones, main artists that we saw on the forefront. There was a lot of music that my mother wouldn't dare let me listen to. However, we have seen this evolution of music and also the evolution of melanated people and their expression. We have seen the evolution of the vixen, the video vixen, with dozens of melanated rappers of all genders offering a vastly progressive image that has debunked those earlier messages of family and togetherness. You see what they did there? Recently, I got to watch a documentary called Roller Dreams that is now available on Hulu, and it was really great storytelling. It was about the roller skating scene in Venice Beach back in the 80s. I want to say late 70s through really up until the 2000s. They really captured very well the freeness of the skate scene over there and how it really was a black neighborhood. Venice Beach was a black neighborhood, but it was oversaturated with white imagery, as many white or Caucasoid peoples came to witness and to also participate in the scene. And as always, there was a lot of things that tried to take it down, such as Hollywood came and tried to exploit the main skaters who were mostly were basically all melanated people. There was one white woman that was like one of the main characters, or main, well, not character, she was actually a real person, but one of the main persons that moved with the skate era during that time, but it was a black movement. And it was shut down due to, first, Hollywood came and tried to exploit them, take their movement, and then put it on white bodies and put it into movies. And then, lastly, the police officers, after Rodney King happened, the police officers didn't like people to gather together. So anytime that they would gather together and play music, there was one main skater, Mad Dog, shouts out to him, who was thrown in jail repeatedly. Black man, beautiful black man, beautiful melanated man. I had a mentor tell me, don't call yourself black. Okay, beautiful melanated man, thrown into jail many a time just because of his dream of roller skating on Venice Beach. And one thing that really struck out to me was how music had started to shift from the 70s and 80s up into the 90s, when drugs were put into melanated people's neighborhoods and impoverished neighborhoods, when music, the agenda behind music shifted and there was outside infiltration. So it was not just about really solely what the artist was talking about or bringing from their heart. It was a hidden agenda behind music. And things started to shift in subcultures such as roller skating and hip-hop circles. We lost our pulse. And, you know, it really made me think a lot about going all the way back to the drum and how our ancestors utilized the drums as a mean of communication. Rhythms could summon deities and spirits. The drum is an important factor in music. You know, I'm not saying that it has to be in every form of music, but no drum, there's no dance, and there's no communicational movement within our people. And as a result, we have become stagnant. Expression is not as important as the impression that we make on each other based off of how much of this I got and how much of that I got. Where it used to be about what was inside of you is now about what's on the outside of you and what you have on, or who has the biggest this and the smallest that, and da 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 da, right? And like I said earlier, this is not a doing of just our own. This is a result of very intentional placing of musicians putting a specific message out there. Now, I'm not going to get into talking about specific artists or even like going too far into the rear end of spiritual practices that happen behind music, but when we look at this transgression or this transition, number nine, this transition that has taken place within the music era, We have seen a decline within our people. We're not thinking anymore. Even when you wanted to be a rapper, you had to really be able to rap, and that takes brains. You have to know how to be able to put these words into a certain sound palette in order for it to be able to generate. You've got to be able to have some kind of articulation and delivery if you want people to get your message, and now it's not even about that. It's like you can literally say one thing and loop it 50 times on the track, and that's considered music. And as a result, we don't really see our young people or the next generation moving and grooving and really tapping into that raw energy or that expressive energy. And I think, personally, it's a loss for us as society. As I have been home in Baltimore and I have been doing my research and coming back across all the things that have really shaped a lot of my own dancing and my own life, I have been tapping more into the Baltimore club scene. So in case you do not know, Baltimore Club is Baltimore Club, Baltimore House is a fusion of breakbeat and house genres. It is often referred to as a blend of hip-hop and chop staccato music. It was created in Baltimore, Maryland in the late 1980s, once again the 80s, by Two Live Crew, Luther Campbell, Frank Scheme, and Miss Tony. Miss Tony was actually one of the first, I would say, out lead drag queens who was a leading force in the subculture of music. We also had people like Scotty B, DJ Spin, and then later down the line we had people like K-Swift, Black Star, and in a newer generation we have TT the Artist, who I actually got to interview last week, and we spoke a little bit about this. And today I will be interviewing DJ S. Dot. Who is the up-and-coming Baltimore House DJ. And all of these people have made such an impact on this music and made such an impact on the history of the city, and they are often forgot. They're kind of like the magicians mixing behind the table, you know. Baltimore Club is based on an 8-4 beat structure and includes tempos around 130 beats per minute. Basically, it's fast, and it combines repetitive loop vocal snippets similar to trap, bounce, ghetto house, and ghetto tech. This is according to Wikipedia. Like many things, the music came first and then the dance came afterwards. So Baltimore club dancing works in tandem with Baltimore club music. It's a wild leg dance style and is native to Baltimore, and the dance culture offers the city's youth a platform for self-expression and an alternative to the treacherous reality of life in the streets. This is our traditional dance. This is how we express ourselves. When I had a chance to personally travel to Senegal, I had the blessing to travel to Senegal for the first time in my life, Africa, I was asked to bring my native dance. And I didn't think of it in that form, because a lot of other people they literally came from villages. So there were dances like Bété from the Ivory Coast, or, you know, lots of dances that come from Guinea-Bissau, including the Manjani and different traditional African dances. Even people who were coming from Europe, they had different dances, some from Brazil. And I was the only American who was attending a specific dance training program there, and I bought Baltimore Club. And when I got to see African people, continental African people doing Baltimore Club, I was like, this is African. This is African dance. Like, you know, of course, we're talking about West African traditional dance, but this is West African dance. Like, we are not that far from our roots, and that may seem like something that you kind of just get, right? But when me actually witnessing this in person and seeing the dances on the people and seeing them doing the crazy legs and the sidekick and the SpongeBob, I'm like, wait, we are literally digging into something ancestral that we're not even realizing. Why am I talking about this tonight is because I feel that with the new societal norms where people have been stuck in their houses, there is no more gatherings, which reminds me a lot of slavery. There is no more house parties, which I'm sorry, but Spike Lee lied to me, because when I saw the movie House Party, I thought when I got to college it was going to be like that, and then unfortunately it was not. And where people used to share dances and ciphers, it's just not the societal norm. And with much more of us being censored and covered and masked up, We are not able to gather in public. We are not able to come together. There's so much mandate on just things that used to just be free human will. It's causing a degeneration within our in our generation. It was bad enough that we had music that was kind of keeping us stuck and stagnant and in one place. But now with the societal and collective agreement to kind of maintain a lockdown, we're losing something that's very important, the movement, the music, the magic. So what I desire to see is a rebirth of the urgency to create. There was an urgency to make up dances and go to parties and show them off to your people. There was an urgency to create music that talked about what was going on in life, that talked that put a feeling into the music. There was an urgency to be able to bring something and cleverly put it together. Tribe Called Quest, got to drop that out. You know what I mean? Like, there was something that was completely exponential for us as melanated people. We didn't have the freedom to be able to express when segregation was even thicker, because it's still here. But when it was thicker, we didn't really have that chance to express it, but we were able to put it in our music. We were able to put it into our dance. And now there seems to be a dystopia because people believe that we are all equal and connected and this and that, when that's not even all of the way true. And we have become complacent and we have become overweight. We have become sick. We have become tired because we're not moving our bodies and we're not listening to the medicinal music of our ancestral line. So are we going to change that? Are we going to bring the magic back to our music? Are we going to bring the magic back to our dance? I see a little bit of it happening with TikTok. There's some cute little dances, but they fit in the midst of the screen, you know, of your phone screen. So there is much more that we can explore, and it is my choice, and it is my privilege, and it is my job in some senses to challenge us to move beyond that. All right? So that's all I have for you tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in to Home to Homeland. Please check me out at 7 o'clock p.m. at IG Live. My Instagram name is at TrueDancerWithoutTheE92, and I will be interviewing an up-and-coming DJ based here in Baltimore, and we will be talking about this. How are we going to implement our medicine through our music? So y'all can come and join me over there. If you don't join me tonight, you can always go back and see the playback. And until then, always remember that home is beneath your feet.